Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala alayna kitaba mubeen. That is all unqualified praise is due to Allah. All unqualified praise is due to Allah who revealed to us his book most clear. Alhamdulillah alladhi khalaqa al-insana fi ahsan al-taqweem. Praise be to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mold. الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. I have open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that there is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. له الملك. His is the kingdom. وله الحمد. To him is due all unqualified praise. بيده الخير. In his hand is all good. وهو على كل شيء قدير. And he has power over all things. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. May the prayers and the peace and the blessing of Allah forever be upon him. وعلى آله and upon his family. وصحبه and upon his companions أجمعين. ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. والجمعة مبارك. أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله صدق الله العظيم. An expression of this is: men are those who fulfill their responsibility to establish women, by recognizing the favors of Allah by which He obligates them to the other, and by what they spend for them from their wealth. So righteous women are devoutly obedient, guarding in the absence what Allah would have them guard. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. Alhamdulillah, this is the fifth segment on the subject of manhood and the degeneration of masculinity in modern times. Those of you who are coming, it won't be so much like coming into the middle of a mystery movie where you can't figure out heads and tails, but inshallah today you'll be able to get the full series, inshallah, including today, so you can catch up with the whole series, inshallah. But to summarize what we ended in just by listing them, because they're very attractive and very tempting to speak about each one of them in detail, but we won't today, and we gave some detail about each one of these that I'm only listing. We gave that during the khutbah, I think it was probably number 3, particularly about what constitutes or what are some of the attributes of a man living as Allah intended for them to live. So on this today, just the list. It's not the exhaustive list. It is a list of, let's say, 10, and we're going to add a couple as we proceed. The first is responsibility. Every time we speak about that, it takes us further, but I'm just going to have to stop and move on. Responsibility as it relates to women, men living as Allah intend are responsible for their women. They also spend on their women, including time and money. They have real concern for their women. They do what they are able to meet the needs of their women. They are conscientious and take all of their obligations to others, not just the women, but to anyone. Being conscientious, they take all of their obligations to others seriously. They are men of faith. They are willing to depend on Allah, and they trust that Allah will provide their needs. They seek out the companionship of people who are good for them. And it's just a side note here. Well, let me go back to the other one and mention it. I believe it's in the 29th surah, and I believe that's Surah Al-Ankabut, the chapter entitled The Spider. Round figures, you know, 50, 59, 60. Allah says, how many, this relates to depending on Allah to provide our needs. That's a man of faith and a believer. They are satisfied with that. It's like satisfied to the point where it's not a question. Satisfied to the point where if somebody say, hey, you want to buy this ham sandwich? You're Muslim, right? You want to buy this ham sandwich? They are satisfied that, no, I don't want to buy this ham sandwich. They are satisfied with the fact that they would never be seduced into doing that as they are in terms of their faith in God. You see what I'm saying? So I'm saying it's like, well, that's not up for question. Okay. So the believer is in the condition where they have no doubts about Allah taking care of their needs. No doubts. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how hard things seem to be, there's no doubt. Okay? In this ayah that I'm referencing to in passing, Allah says, he asked the question, how many creatures are there in the earth that don't carry their provisions with them? Meaning that how many of the animals and the beasts and whoever that eat, that are provided for, they don't carry their provisions with them. Can you think of a creature that, oh, I ain't gonna worry about eating nothing. I got my food right here with me. This is Allah saying, look at something that you haven't paid attention to. Let me show you something you haven't seen. Look at all the beasts and creatures out there. See, who of them got a lunchbox? You understand what I'm saying? They ain't got no lunchbox. They're going to get their food from somewhere outside of themselves. And then Allah finishes the verse. He says, I provide for them, and I provide for you too. Come on now. I mean, that's beautiful. How many times have I read it? I don't know. I've been reading Quran for 40 years. But it's like, oh, yeah. So why do we got to go to crime and all that other stuff thinking that? That's the only way I'm going to get it. Satan threatens you with poverty and bids you to conduct unseemly. So now take that verse, which is in another place, the Quran, of course, and then put it with that one. Now, how many other creatures don't carry their provisions with them? I take care of them. I take care of you too. So the believer, they depend on Allah. I don't know how I'm going to get it, but I know I'm going to do it the way that Allah would approve, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to show me a way that I don't even see. So let's move on. But that's the state of men living as Allah intended for them to live. And then this one, they seek out the companionship of people who are good for them. Very, very important. Your environment is critical to your attitude, your disposition, your behavior, your thinking, your feeling, etc. And when you're around people that are not good for you, that's not good for you. And it's a very simple question that you ask yourself in that regard, or know this as a principle. Your companions are either taking you up or taking you down. Who you with, who you hang out with, who you spend time with, who you're always in touch with. Okay, let's do the profile. Ask yourself, are they leading you to good or are they leading you to bad? Are they beneficial to you? Or are they not beneficial to you? And one of the ways you know is like, okay, if I did everything they did, where would I wind up? That should be enough for that. They are strong men living as Allah intended. They are strong and trustworthy. Men, and these were extracted from the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. What was it, 26, 23 through 28, inshallah? Either way, the story of Moses when he watered the animals for the ladies. And when you read these verses, these kinds of attributes come out by the grace of Allah, inshallah, Allahu A'lam, in the reading. So, strong and trustworthy, which was one of the things that the woman said, give him a job. This was the daughter talking to the father who was, you know, mulling over what had happened with Musa. And the daughter said, give him a job. For surely the best are those who are strong and trustworthy. The best employee are those who are strong and trustworthy, right? Okay, well, that's what a man living as Allah intended. They are strong and they are trustworthy, okay? Among the many other attributes. Also, they practice ihsan. They practice ihsan. What is ihsan? Allah's Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, كَتَبَ الْأَحْسَانَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah has prescribed excellence on everything. And oftentimes when we open the khutbah, it says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. Allah created the human being in the most excellent mold. Our nature is excellent. Our nature, the nature that God gave us. I don't care what's going on outside. The nature that God gave us is excellent. In Allah's design description and in His power, it's like, now maybe you did something to yourself, but I created you with a nature of excellence. So excellence is our nature. And in order to know when you are doing Allah's will, all you have to do is look at your behavior that is excellent. How do I know God's will? Be excellent. Just be excellent. You mopping the floor? Mop it with excellence. You painting the wall? Paint it with excellence. You're providing a service? Provide it with excellence. Now you're working with Allah's will. Allah's will is expressing itself through that behavior because Allah's expression from us is and are the expressions of excellence. Mediocrity? Not from God. My daddy, God rest his soul, he said, well, I'll be doing no half-ass job. You ever heard that language, half-ass? Yeah. I mean, when you just think about the illustration of that, you know what I'm saying? Like, what does that look like? MashaAllah, let's keep that out of the Juma, is it? But excellence, ihsan, and it's described particularly in the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It says, what is ihsan? He said, ihsan is to behave as though you are seeing God. But even though you won't reach that level of seeing, know that he's seeing you. So if you act and live always as you are in the presence of Allah, that's going to minimize your corruption. Let's just put it like that. But it's very hard. I don't know if I should. It's just nature of me. When I get to that point, I just feel the need to remind people, don't think like God is over you like a slave master with a whip. Yeah, don't you? Yeah, no. God is the forgiving, and he loves forgiving. You cannot live as a human being without sin. I want to tell you again. You cannot live. I'm not misspeaking. You cannot live as a human being without sin. And Hadith Qudusi says that all of you sin by day and by night. So if that's your mission, to become sinless, abort the mission. Abort the mission. If you see it as one word, sinless, I'm striving to be sinless. What? No. Strive to sin less. That's the best you can do. Purify your intention. Perfect your intention. Perfect your desire to serve the will of God. And always ask for forgiveness. Every time. Not sometime. Every time. Don't count yourself out. I been going too far now. Maybe. Possibly. But Allah is the one that knows better than you. So, you ask Allah, and you know how hard it is to ask Allah for forgiveness? Watch this now. You really got to get ready for it because you really need some preparation to ask for God's forgiveness. Forgive me, God. Now, you think you can handle that? I know it's a big operation, but that's no. I got to do 50 rakahs. I got to get up in the morning. I got to fast for 3 weeks straight and only drink coffee when I break the fast. You know the rest of that, right? You could add on to that if you want to. The point is, no. You know, okay. Never have any idea. It's arrogant to think that you can sin in such a way that God ain't big enough to forgive you. Can you see the arrogance? Oh, God will never forgive me for that. Now, you might mess up in saying that, and God said, oh, is that what you want? That I am as my servant expects me to be. So what do you expect from God? You expect to be forgiven? God said, I forgive you. You expect him to be merciful? God is merciful. You expect him to love you? God loves you. You see, other people make religion hard, quote unquote, worshiping God hard, I should say. But let's get away from that. So have that. Now, we want to... Where we go now, we're adding a couple of attributes to this list. And when the statement says, men living as Allah intends are strong and trustworthy. Now, here's something you're going to hear more from me as we go on, not just today, but going forward. Low resolution, high resolution. Low definition, high definition, right? I think we all know about high definition TV, right? I remember the first time I saw high definition TV. I mean, the first time I was in one of the big box stores or something. And I can see the rust on the railroad track. It's like, this is a picture. But it was such detail that you could see rust on the railroad track. Now, that's high definition. Hey, can you imagine seeing that in one of the old John Wayne flicks? For some reason, I just think about cowboy movies when they had the railroad, railroad track. No, you don't see that. And in the low definition, you don't see that. But high definition gives you detail. Okay. So there are certain things that are low definition, but low definition not in any pejorative kind of way. When I say pejorative, it means not putting it down. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us what he gives us the principle unpacked. He gives us the principle unpacked. Then by reflection, he gives us the principle packed. That's what I meant. He gives us the principle packed. The wisdom and the guidance comes from unpacking what Allah has given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first revelation, iqra, first word, iqra, rest of those verses, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqal insana min alaq, iqra wa rabbuka al-ikram alladhi 'allama bil qalam 'allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. Okay, I mean, you already know. How much you think is packed in that? How much is packed in those five verses? Not even just that. How much is in the first word? Take reading out of the life of man. Tell me what you got left. Just take reading out of the life of man. Just take the pen out of the life of man. What do we have? We got nothing. So if we have nothing without it, then that means what do we have with it? Hello? Everything. This is not the church. I'm just sorry. I get like that sometimes. Everything. I won't stay there. So when I say low resolution in terms of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals us, meaning that Allah has packed in it richness, then inshallah, in fact, mashallah, the Quran says the believers are those who hear the word, who seek to establish. They hear the word, they seek to hear the word. Form 10 is the form for hearing. When we say sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey. Istami'a. They seek to hear the word, al-qawl. Seek to hear the word and follow the best meaning in it. One more time. And follow the best meaning in it. What does it mean? That there are multiple layers and levels, to put it lightly, in every word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals. And so when we go into it and you bring out of it, it unfolds like a beautiful flower, a beautiful bouquet, a beautiful, imagine a wonderful mansion coming out of a box. You just open it up and then you're surrounded by beauty and everything else. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi. All right. So the revelation at a certain level is low resolution, compact axioms and principles that have to be unpacked in order to know what to do. Now, this strength that is being strong and trustworthy, that's a low resolution. That's saying to us, our way of being should be that we are strong and trustworthy. It's like, oh man, that brother is strong and trustworthy. That brother is strong and trustworthy, right? Those are things that we would like to have said about us, right? Why would they be said? Why would that be said about us? Because that's our way of being, right? So strong and trustworthy is saying this is the way that you should be. Be strong and trustworthy. Now, the high resolution, the high definition is that we are truthful and courageous. Courageous and truthful. That's a high definition translation of strong and trustworthy. Strong, why you got to be strong? Because you have to face things that could undo you. You have to address something that needs to be changed, but it can only be changed by someone with strength. And see, even that the sister, the daughter of the sheikh in the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, she described Musa as having the strong attribute because what he did was strong. They were holding back. Why? Because the men were dominating the water. And she didn't have a man in order to handle it. So what does it mean? She didn't have the strength to step into that situation knowing that it's going to be a problem. And she couldn't deal with what she would have to deal with if she stepped into that situation in her state, condition, et cetera, or by comparison. Moses said, give me this. He went over there, you know, I'm taking it just a little bit. Said, what? He got the sheep, he going to the water. Dude, you can imagine dudes turn around, look at it. We know we had the bee sitting over there. I know y'all don't like that. Yeah, he's sitting over there. He just got to wait till we get through. That was the attitude they had before Moses showed up, right? And then Moses showed up, what's your problem? Said, well, they dominating the spot. Moses said, no. Come on. And they look, Moses, what? Y'all go and get your water. And after he finished that, he went back to the tree because his situation still wasn't fixed. He made his dua to Allah. Oh, Allah, I'm ready for any good that you're willing to send me. Remember, low resolution, high resolution. Packed, unpacked. What was Moses' dua? I'm ready for any good. What does that mean? He said, by my assessment, there's no good in my life right now. Ain't nothing happening for me. But he was a man of faith. So he just raised his hand to Allah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, oh man, if you ask for help, ask help from Allah. Yeah, dope dealer. Come on, man, put me on, man. I got to pay this mortgage this year. Okay. So courageousness and truthfulness, that's doing. Was that not Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? El Amin, he was known for being truthful and trustworthy. He earned that before the revelation came to him. So he was already a man living true to the nature, Ummi, living true to the nature that Allah had put in him, and it had flowered in him. It had flowered in him. As Khadija, radiallahu anha, said, this guy, he is good. How come he ain't married? You put somebody on a mission. You'll go find him. Check on him. See what's up with that. Muhammad was also strong and trustworthy. Right? So, alhamdulillah, this is where we have. So, being is being strong and trustworthy. Doing is being courageous and truthful. Being courageous and truthful. Come on. Most of our fathers, whether they were Muslim, atheist, agnostic, Christian, well, most of our fathers, if we had an opportunity to speak with them, some point in time they told us a man is no better than his word. If you ever lose that, if you ever lose that to be said properly about you, you have lost your manhood. You have lost your manhood. Yeah, man, that dude's lying, man. Don't trust a word. What he said? Oh, he lying. But did you hear what he said? Was his lips moving? Never lose. Never lose the right for someone to say of you, his word can be trusted. You lose that, it's done. It's done. So what does it mean? Don't be a liar. Just don't lie. Just don't lie. So these qualities and these attributes are some of the qualities and attributes that we have to have and sustain in order to live the life that Allah created us to live as men. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين بسم الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم in watching the Miles Davis documentary, the one entitled The Birth of Cool. I saw it at the Elmwood over there in Berkeley. I don't know if it's still there or not. Carlos Santana, famous Hispanic. I think he's there. No, I think he's local. Yeah. He plays bass or lead. He plays guitar. During that film. He said, most men are afraid to be vulnerable. He's talking about Miles Davis. But he was also saying at the same time that Miles Davis, the reason that he was, and he was hard, you have to, you got to see it. Somebody, I can't use the words that he used, but one guy who's I think he was a bass player. I keep trying to put you in his mix. He's a bass player, and he wanted to sit in on one of Miles Davis' sets. So you saw the movie, you know the joke. I'm sorry, I can't give you details. But he said, yeah, I'd like to sit in with you. And so the reporter is saying, the one who's telling the story is the old Miles Davis friend, you know. Miles, look at the guy. Who's a famous guy? I mean, the reason he's in the documentary because, you know, he's qualified to be at that level. But when it comes to Miles, he's like, Miles, what's your name? What they told him his name. Miles say, no, you can't sit in on my set. he just comes that hard, right? So his friend was saying, the reason he's that hard is because he had a real, real tender inside. So he had to keep everybody out so that they couldn't get to that soft inside. So you had to really qualify for Miles to be open to you in that way. All right? Now, everybody knows, I mean, most people, I believe, have some sense of, if not in detail, that Miles was miles ahead, okay? I mean, it was him that gave John Coltrane the means of following his voice on the instrument. Well, I think they got a church over in San Francisco called the Church of St. John Coltrane or something, right? And they're serious about it. There's a priest or bishop or something over there. He wears purple collar, everything. And the John Coltrane music is the theology, whatever. No disrespect, I'm just saying. But I didn't know until I saw that it was Miles that brought him on. And Miles was on the set with Dizzy Gillespie and some other names that I'm not ready for me right away. And he transcended them. Miles moved on with his art. And he was at a level of, I don't know, I'm going to use this word so we can get finished, a mystical awareness, right? He was ahead of it. But see, there are a couple of things that go with that. Most everybody that was excellent in some regard that we hold in high esteem, trust this, there's a big gin there somewhere. Don't think that gin is always bad. I just got to remind you, Suleiman has sitting right here with him on his council, an ifrit of the jinn. You know what ifrit means? A strong jinn. Like a pet. No. His jinn got juice. Maybe I shouldn't say it like that. Jinn and juice, right? But I don't know. Mashallah. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm so humorous today. But James Brown, Walt Disney, most everybody that you can think of that had this phenomenal creativity, power, genius, there's a big gin involved with it. I guess I'm going to go ahead and take my whooping today because I'm going to say this anyway. No, I'm not going to say that. You can ask me afterwards, but I won't say it across the restaurant. But you'll get it as soon as I say it. The point is that people talk about, well, he's wrestling with his demons. You heard that term, heard that language? Everybody had their own demons, right? Yeah, he had his demons. And that's with so many others, like Charlie Parker and so many others, drugs come into the mix. Not just because it was quote unquote supposed to be cool, hip, or what have you. No. Those drugs are trying to quiet down that gin. Now, so the idea is so to that extent then the imbalance of being so hard and being unwilling to be vulnerable, but then expressing so much creativity and genius and excellence is because he didn't have a philosophy, an ideology, a worldview, a way of looking at life and a way of negotiating life where he could do what he does without that tragic dimension. So looking at Carlos Santana's statement, most men are afraid to be vulnerable. This is a high resolution, low resolution matter as well. Now, the low resolution aspect of it is this: the men being unwilling to show or reveal or accept vulnerability that is readily. The low-resolution explanation is that unwillingness to be vulnerable is the default setting of a male. Y'all know what default setting means, right? I mean, when you get it from the warehouse, it's set to default, right? If you decide to set up, now you have to customize it, right? But the default setting for a male is not to be vulnerable. Why? Because his job is to secure life himself as well. So anytime he's vulnerable, by default, it's a dangerous situation for him just by his nature. So men have a tendency, even if it's not real, to pretend to be invulnerable. Oh, nothing hurt to me. I'm cool. And then you die of cancer, heart disease, hypertension, because the immune system has been compromised for having internalized all of that threat and not dealing with it in the way it should be dealt with so that it can be diffused and eliminated from your way of being. So being vulnerable, literally speaking, is not cool. So especially African-American males, Bilalians, we had a tendency to be cool. Even when stuff ain't cool, it ain't cool. But since we're on the music tip, you know, Oscar Lee Brown, was it? Is that his name? Oscar Brown Jr. Oscar Brown Jr. He said, but I was cool. All right? And that's what happens. When we don't acknowledge our vulnerability, you know what? You cannot deal with a problem that you're unwilling to acknowledge. If you're unwilling to acknowledge, you're not going to do anything about it. Okay? So now, so the low resolution side of it is that men have a tendency to be concerned about their independence, their invulnerability, and their status. That's a male setting. That's what men are. That's who we are. That's how we do, because in nature, in the scheme of God, we're supposed to be those out front and who are willing to give ourselves up for the benefit of the group, those that we stand in front of in the interest of protecting. But it's not something that we look forward to, because we have to survive in order to help those that we're protecting to survive. But if we have to give our life in the interest, I'm speaking of men now, if we have to give our life in the interest of the life of the group, meaning my family, my children, etc., then a man is willing to step up and subject himself to that potential end, because that's how that flips. He moves from being concerned about invulnerability to the point where this is it. All right, let's do it. Because I'm not going to live and not do what I have to do to protect these. They're not going to live, and I'm not going to look at them for the rest of my life because I was worried about losing my life instead of protecting them. So how my son, how my daughter, how my wife, how my people going to look at me when it was time for me to step up and I wet the bed? So the first setting is do the best you can to protect yourself from becoming vulnerable. But you have to know that sometimes you have to flip the switch and voluntarily subject yourself to vulnerability in the interest of a higher good. So believe it or not, sisters, your page is coming. I just can't say when. Maybe a couple of weeks, I don't know. So that's the low resolution. The low resolution setting is that it's a natural default setting for males to want to maintain a sense of independence, a sense of invulnerability, a sense of status. That's not. A man has to have a sense of independence, because if he's always tied to the skirt tails of his mother or his wife, it's like, you got to get out of here and do something. It's like that John Q movie. That was a really powerful line. If you ever saw that movie, Denzel Washington, when he was having to go through a whole lot of changes, and like it seemed like everything was cut off. I don't know what. But that woman stepped up, and she just made two-word statements. Do something! See, that's what women, the natural woman, who's not sleep or scared of you or whatever, that's what she will tell you. She will tell you, do something. What you sitting up in here for? You know, stuff that needs to be done. What's up? Do something. And that's the default setting for women. The default setting for women is to show man himself, to make a man self-conscious. And see, this is the part of where the conflict comes in with this vulnerability, invulnerability, default setting for men, default setting for women. There seems to be a clash because a woman, she can't help herself in addressing us in a way that says you need to do more, you need to be more, etc. That's like God giving us an alarm clock to say, wake up, you got stuff to do. That's her default setting. You can't keep telling her to shut up and turn the snooze button and all that. No, no. You gotta act. Because if she's natural, and I know we got some high definition, low definition conversations on that, but let's assume for this conversation, that's just a natural one. She can't help herself. And if we're unwilling, and if we choose to, which I'm saying that we should, we choose not to try to quiet her down without accepting the responsibility and what's valid about her entreaty, then what's going to happen is it's going to result in more excellence coming out of us. Oh, you always nagging me. Ain't got nothing positive to say. Yeah, like, take it from the default setting. Okay? Let me say this since we're on that part. You cannot talk your way out of something you behave yourself into. If you did nothing to provoke what you deem to be an inappropriate demand on you, mashallah, Allahu A'lam, put it on God, be patient, believe in God, be merciful, all that. But if after consideration of what she said, you know, you got a point. I was wrong. I apologize. I'm going to do better. Forgive me. That's the kind of vulnerability that oftentimes the average man just not willing or able to do. But that's why they're khutbahs about this. So that we can do that and be that. Because it's not going to be straight until we can. So this vulnerability, however, in the high resolution statement regarding it, is less about showing vulnerability than about being honest and truthful. See, let's mention love just for the sake of. I know it gets very particular when you talk about, you know, you having somebody to love and all that. But even so, let's talk about people who have and are in marriages and relationships, etc. Love is being vulnerable. That's an attribute. That's a quality of love, being vulnerable. When you say that you love somebody, you have made yourself vulnerable to that person. And some people try to avoid it by, we don't love them, though. Like they don't say anything like that. And many women just waiting to hear the men hold back. Why? Because he's aware of the vulnerability that comes with that. But if you really love somebody, I'm talking about reality, then you're vulnerable to hurting the one that you love through your honesty and truthfulness. Sometimes you have to say something to the one that you love that's truthful and honest, but that you know it's going to, quote unquote, hurt them. That's not your intention. That's not your motivation. But if you see a hurt behind your not saying what you need to truthfully and honestly say, a hurt bigger, if they continue to be unaware of it, then how are you really loving them if your real love is to see them be better, go further, not be hurt by something that they might not themselves see about themselves? And that's a decision that you have to make, that we have to make. So that's a vulnerability. That's one side of it. And also the other side is being vulnerable to the same thing coming from them. You have to be open to their truthfulness and their honesty, to things that you might not want to, we might not want to hear. You know, look, when it comes, you can la 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 la. You can't plug your ears up. You can't act like I don't hear that. I don't want to hear it. You can say it, but it doesn't help. So it goes both ways. And as we've said, it's more a voluntary acceptance of this vulnerability as a reality of life. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about reality, and we're almost done. We're talking about reality here. This is reality. And when it comes to that particular reality, then that's life. Women are who women are. Men are who men are. The nature that God has given men and the nature that God has given women, it is what it is. It's only when you get these crazy cult-like scenarios, whatever. Let's do this died Nazi thing in his forehead. Charlie Manson. It's only when you get the Charlie Manson type and everything else that goes with that, that's not reality. And when you stop dealing with reality, whoever that is, when they stop dealing with reality, you're not dealing with reality, literally. So the point is here, then, that being open and vulnerable to that reality as opposed to portraying yourself as the victim when the problems of life rise, and this is going to be my last sentence in this. See, being vulnerable, when I say being vulnerable, I hope you've grasped some of what I've said as to what we mean when we talk about being vulnerable in that regard. The misperception of what it means to be vulnerable or what's given to us as vulnerability from the male perspective in the world such as it is right now, it's like maudlin and weak, and, you know, it's like, you know, be willing to cry and all that, as that's the real definition of vulnerability. Well, see, that goes against the female nature. Okay? In which way? That is, when you portray yourself and your vulnerability comes across like you're a victim. Well, it doesn't matter, isn't it, man? A white man won't give me a job. Man, these people, Trump, man, he keeps messing up everything. What, you know, it's like you lose a job, you lose a contract, fall apart, cry and moan and wail, and hey, that doesn't build confidence in your woman. So it's not about being vulnerable to, quote unquote, show this kind of weakness or to admit that you have this fear, anxiety, what have you. That undermines the relationship. So the point is, to not portray yourself, not be vulnerable in the way that says I'm the victim, but not be vulnerable in the way that shows I think I'm defeated. You know? No. Vulnerable in the way that I spoke of before. Because the believing man is one that when he's faced with the challenges that life are naturally going to throw to, and the defeats that he's naturally going to face just by living, dealing with reality, he still has to show courage. He still has to show faith. He still has to let her know God is with me, have to let her know that he knows God is with me, God is with us. Don't worry, baby, we got this and God got us. But if you walking around doubting and your whole body posture says I'm defeated, it's like, man, watch out. I know she would never do this. You know, she might start looking over your shoulder and say, well, who's next? Cause I don't think he's going to make it. So let's keep these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters. فله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم ما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسيع كرسيه السماوات والأرض لا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your guidance. We beg your forgiveness for our errors. We beg your forgiveness for our shortcomings. We beg that you would guide us nearer to the path even in this. We pray that you would make us models and examples for those who desire to be righteous. Oh Allah, we pray that you would bless us to be people of family, people of community, people of Ummah building, people who recognize that the world that you desire for us to build is dependent upon us living the life that you have blessed us with. Oh Allah, bless us not to be hypocritical to this life that you have blessed us with. Bless us not to be ungrateful for the life that you have blessed us with. Oh Allah, bless us to understand that we have faith. If we do, it's because of your grace and because of your mercy, because of your granting. Oh Allah, bless us never, ever to turn our backs on your graces. Bless us to always share what you have given to us with those who are not in the benefits that you have granted to us. We beg that you, your only for none can grant it withhold this but you. Amen. Amen. Alhamdulillah. Wa alaykum as-salam.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya al-salah, hayya al-salah. Qamat al-salah, qamat al-salah. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar.
La ilaha illallah, Sayyidi Muhammadan Rasulullah. Stowu wastaghfir li yarhamukum Allah. Make our wills straight and even, leave no space between the shaitan and divide us. If our wills aren't straight, our hearts won't agree. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والدين وزيتون وطور سنين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. ذكر الله سبحان الله. الحمد لله. الله أكبر. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العظيم. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. الحمد لله. A couple of announcements I just want to make. First, we want to recognize Mr. Stewart right back there in the back, sitting there. He is the father of our Muezzin, Rashad Shaheed. That's Mr. Stewart. I think he's here for his 95th birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday. Allahu Akbar. Also, New African Kitchen's on tap today. You know, buy it out. Take it on with you. Alhamdulillah. I think that's it. Maybe something else. Oh, a couple of things coming. Get the flyers. Get the flyers, newsletter, all that. A lot of things going on, okay? Sound like it. Let me turn this off. How you doing? Allahu Akbar. Salaam alaykum. How you doing? Good, good. Alhamdulillah. Salaam alaykum. What's up, man?
I'm so glad to be in good health, mashallah.
Good to see you, Shabbat. Likewise, that means. We talked about you today. You heard me talking about you today? Huh? What did I say? No, what did I say when I was talking about you?
I pulled you in like that. I was like, this is.
Reed. Ikra. Reed. That's you, man. Sound like I'm talking about Kevin. Hi. How you doing?
Yeah, I know.
Good, good, good. How are you now? 11? All right. What you doing? Soccer, baseball, basketball, karate? What you doing?
Welcome, welcome,
Adam. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, I got you. Good to see you. All right, you turn the green. Good to see you, man.
On the back is our YouTube channel.
Okay. Let me tell you. I'm just getting this alarm in my ear. So what is it? Okay. Okay, good.
On the back is our YouTube channel.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Give us a line for me. Oh, I'll check you out. For sure. I'll put you in my favorites. I get subscribed and ring the bell and everything. Good to see you too. Congratulations. I think, does it ever stop raining or is it raining more so now? It's been good. Okay. That's good. In Seattle. Oh, so it's Portland that's good. It's got all the races fitting on average. Oh, is that right? The alt right boys. Yeah, mashallah. May Allah protect us and guide them, inshallah, to a better way. Inshallah. And you do the same. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Hey, what's up? What's up, young man?
Good, man.
Nice brown, man. Nice brown, man. Shukra, shukra. I mean, shukra.
Welcome home.
Good to be here. Oh, I was going to link blog, so sorry about that.